Hey, kids, this is Mark Arm from Mudhoney.
This is Nicole Alvarez from the world-famous K-Rock.
Hey, I'm James Joseph from James and the Cold Gun.
Hey, I'm Zozier.
Hey, this is Jeremy Toback from the band Brad.
Hi, I am Matt Vaughn from Easy Street Records.
This is Josh Evans.
This is Charles Peterson.
And this is the State of Love and Trust.
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 A Pearl Jam podcast.
Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Feed the algorithm.
Welcome to another episode of The State of Love and Trust. It's a Pearl Jam podcast, and I'm one of your two hosts, Jason Carapesi, and alongside me, as always, is
Paul Guillieri.
Paul, what a treat we have for our viewers. I say viewers first because this is a very...
It's an illuminating experience, Jason.
See, this is why Paul's here, just for comments like that. that's your money's worth right there. We've got the artist responsible for... the Dark Matter cover, artwork, yeah. Font, the whole kit and caboodle. Alexander Gnezdilov, I think I said it correctly, is going to be here in just a few moments. And it's a real treat to talk to him and get behind his process and how he made this stuff. And it's brilliant. And we're going to go through some of his other artwork and then lead up to how he made Dark Matter and beyond. So that's coming up. But if you are watching... on YouTube, please go ahead and like the video, subscribe to the channel, hit the bell icon. That helps other fans, other music lovers, art lovers too, I think, find this show. And much appreciated. But if you're still listening on podcast platforms of choice, Apple, Spotify, whatever else, what should you do, Paul?
You should feed that algorithm, Jason. Rate, review, and subscribe on that preferred podcast platform of choice.
Fantastic. Yeah. And if you want some extra content from us or just buy the show a virtual coffee, so to speak, we've got t-shirts to sell. We've got Patreon as well, where there's extra bonus content behind the poster with Brad Clausen, many episodes of that, behind the photos, stories behind the photos with Charles Peterson, Lance Mercer, and extra conversations with people we've chatted to, including Kevin Martin, including Charles Peterson, Jimmy Schoaf. Who else have we spoken to?
Oh, God. The list goes on.
The list goes on. There's too many people to name.
We've talked to engineers.
Who am I forgetting?
We've talked to
Zosher is coming soon.
We've talked to artists. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, there's lots of stuff to consume if you are curious for more. Oh, and also there's monthly giveaways. This monthly giveaway, as if I'm burying the lead here, is the full LP of Dark Matter. That's right. The whole album on vinyl could be yours if you are a patron. And if not, no big deal. You're here right now. We're watching. We're hanging out together. That's what really matters. And we've got a great episode, like I mentioned. Alexander Gnezdilov is coming up right now. And here he is, the artist who created the beautiful cover for Pearl Jam's Dark Matter, all the way from Germany. It's Alexander Gnezdilov. How are you, my friend?
Thanks, Jason.
Did I nail that or what?
I think he did. Did he get it right? Your name?
Yeah, totally.
The pronunciation. Nailed it.
Yes.
Nailed it.
I've been practicing all week.
Yeah, it's great to have you on.
Yeah, actually, I'm already, I didn't hear my name correctly for a long time because I live in Germany, so Germans also tell my name totally different from its original sounding.
And you're Moldovan, correct?
I come from Moldova, yeah. My mother tongue is actually Russian.
Oh. Well, yeah, I guess Gnezdilov is pretty Russian, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Well... let's just dive into it, Alex. And again, thank you for joining us across the world. Obviously, we're going to talk about art, music, Pearl Jam a little bit, and how you got involved with that. But we got to start at the beginning for you. And I want to kind of get at the beginning of the genesis of your interest in art. And so at what age did you realize that art and photography specifically was something that was really the calling for you?
It's a good question. I remember I had a camera in school. So my parents just bought me one, and I loved to experiment with that. It was a film camera. At that time, there were no digital cameras. I didn't like to simply point and shoot, just take photos of things that I thought are beautiful, but instead, I would be trying something different, like long exposure or move the camera during the shot or some stuff like that. I just, throughout my life, I love to experiment. So that's, I think, how I came to light painting. So Alexander, I tried. Yep.
No, go ahead. What were you trying?
Tried long exposure, but basically before I came to Germany, I did not have any serious results. I just was experimenting around, and then at some point in time, I just stopped photography, and I picked it up later here in Germany, and since I had a more or less decent camera, it was much more possible with this one.
You were a computer science major at university, and you're currently working in the software engineering world.
Yeah.
For the automotive industry, correct?
Yeah, I just changed to automotive. Before I was working for mobile, for phone industry, yeah.
Okay, so I'm not sure if you're familiar with the psychobiologist Roger Sperry. He has this theory that there's a left and a right brain, mm-hmm. but you seem to have a strong inclination in both. So I'm curious, like, how do you think you maximize both the creative side and the analytical side through your art?
Good question, thank you. true, yeah. It's also my approach to the art, which I do in my art, which is very technical, I would say. So, basically it starts like, what it would look like if I would try this and that. And these are sometimes very crazy ideas, very technical ideas, because, because I just come up with them, I think, exactly for this reason, that I'm a technical guy on one side and artistic guy on the other side. So, it's just a bunch of experiments which evolve then in different techniques. So I see which experiments are successful, then I just remember them, and next time I may continue those which were better, those which were successful, and I have like a list, maybe already a book of those ideas which I would like to try, and yeah, that's like a mutation each time. So
it's like your bank of knowledge, bank of ideas.
Yeah, very a lot of ideas, but because I work at the tech company and I work full time, those ideas kind of pile up.
And I bet
don't come to the point where I can try them all out.
Well, let's talk about some of that art specifically, and you know, I've been perusing your website for the last couple of weeks in the lead up to this chat, and you got a variety of styles, and you've organized them as such because, you know, that's part of your, was it left side, Paul? Which side's the analytical side? Left?
Not sure.
I think it's left. I don't know. And light and cameras. And you mentioned light painting before. And you even mentioned blind painting. Can you talk about what those ideas mean?
Yeah, sure. Normally, how the camera works, it opens the shutter and then it closes the shutter. So I'll maybe now just describe how light painting works in general first. Photoshot or just a shot is always an exposure which has an extent, and normally it's a very short exposure. Because if exposure gets longer, then things are getting blurry. And that's exactly where light painting comes in, or long exposure photography comes in. So when you know that things can get blurry and you want them to get blurry, then you just do it intentionally. So you put your camera into the manual mode, and then you are the one who decides how long the shutter will be open. And everything what happens before the camera in this time will remain on the shot. That's how it works. And for that, you also need full darkness. Otherwise, the background will be overexposed. Exactly the right term. Yeah.
So when it comes to blind painting, though, is that the same thing, or is that something different?
Yeah, I just explained it as blind painting because you are
In the dark.
You are in the dark and you don't see what you do. So you actually
until after.
Yeah, exactly. So you do something, what you have in your head, your idea, your imagination, your plan. You try to do your best, and then you go to the camera, switch it off, or stop recording, so to say, and then you see the result and you think, oh shit, no, I need to do that again.
And is that both exciting and frustrating at the same time, because you don't know what you're getting?
For me, it's exciting because I always seem to get a good result at the end. So I'm very, how do you say it? I don't give up quickly, so I just repeat and
you're
repeat.
You're persistent.
like that. Patient, yeah.
There you go. Well, let's dive into some of these images. I know we got one of them right behind you there. I don't know if this is the exact one, but let's take a look at it, some of these images that you've created, and you can tell me kind of quickly how you kind of came upon this. So let's go with this guy. I don't know if it's the same one or not. No, it's not the same one, but it's very similar. This guy.
Uh-huh. Okay.
How did
it's
that
actually
come about?
It's actually the same technique as this one on the wall. And it's also the way I did the cover shot for Pearl Jam. Actually, very close.
Oh, we'll get there, Alexander. Don't skip ahead, my friend.
Yeah. It's a kaleidoscope. So I basically did a lot of stuff with kaleidoscopes. I even, for demonstration purposes, brought one here.
He's brought props, Paul. He's got props.
maybe I'll try to show it.
Wow.
That's awesome.
No. Sorry.
By the way, if you're only listening to this show, stop, hit pause, go to YouTube.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's like that. So, but this one is a three mirror kaleidoscope, which I just showed. And the one you are showing is a two mirror kaleidoscope, and I am very fascinated with using kaleidoscopes in light painting, because I already described in light painting you have a lot of trial and error. The advantage of kaleidoscope here is that you need to paint only one segment. And the rest is the reflection.
For you.
Geometrics
do the rest of the work for you. Very fascinating.
Exactly.
Let's talk about this guy right here.
Ah, that's a physiogram.
Physiogram?
Physiogram, I think.
Okay.
They name it like this. I am also up to date, not sure how they are correctly called, but I'll just describe how they are done. That's most fascinating part. And I was also doing them pretty long, like 1 year, I guess, on and off. Because it's very meditative process. So basically, you put your camera on the floor with the lens facing up, in your ceiling you have a hook or something where you can hang something, and you just take a rope, and this rope then has a flashlight on the end. So you just tie the flashlight to the rope and it mm-hmm. just hangs from the ceiling and your camera is exactly underneath underneath the flashlight, centered perfectly and facing the flashlight. And then you turn the flashlight on in the dark, of course, mm-hmm. and then you give it a push or a swing and it flies.
That is awesome.
And the camera is then capturing what happens. So the full trajectory of the flashlight is on the shot. I think that's why it's called physiograms. Physio comes from physics, I guess. Yeah. And then
I'm not an entomologist. I have no idea.
And then, of course, you can experiment. So here, for example, you see multiple colors. So I just created a multicolor filter, which was on the flashlight at the front, uh-huh. so that the flashlight, when it's pointing the camera, it's more pink and blue. It had multiple color filters in it. And then at the edges, it was like red, yellow, and...
This is so brilliant, but also so simple at the same time.
Well, that's just it, right? I mean, you talked about the left and the right side of the brain. So it's the left side that's the logical side. So think left logical, the right okay. side where the creativity comes out. But when both of those are being optimized and you're able to look at something like a flashlight and you can essentially just analyze its parts and figure out, well, simplistically, this is what I'm working with. And then the creative side says, well, this is what I'm working with, but this is what I can use it to work at. It opens mm-hmm. up a whole world of different possibilities. And you did a marvelous job of figuring out in both of those pieces of art, like how process informs the final product.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. That's when you look at the light painting, when you Google light painting, then you can see a lot of stuff which looks very simple. So it's actually, I would say, it's very hard to make a good light painting. There are people who succeeded it because maybe they are more bit technical. But if you just start and don't think much about the small things, then most probably you will get some like child painting or something like that in this direction. Yeah. Because you are painting blind, you're doing it blind, and you must know the camera, you must know how to adapt the settings to get a better picture second time, third time, and stuff like that. Yeah.
All right, so let's look at, there's one more that's on your wall that's just out of frame, but you said you don't shoot people very often, but then there's this. How did you do this?
That's my wife.
Oh!
She was around and I just took her and...
around?
Yeah, she happened to be around. No, we actually did multiple light paintings with her as a model. She's a beautiful woman, and
you're a smart man.
Yeah. So, and that's my guitar also on the shot. So this was this idea. It's it was not so hard for me to do this shot as for her, because she had to sit still for more than 10 minutes without moving. So in light painting with people, it's the biggest challenge, actually, that either your model will sit without the motion, as they did when they invented the camera. So you had to sit still, otherwise you would be blurry. The same thing, exactly the same thing with light painting. Or you use the flash. A lot of people, a lot of light painters, there are sometimes light painters at commercial events. They do a photo booth, and then the models are usual people which are not experienced, who don't know how to behave or behave in a light painting. Mm-hmm. So they just use flash. They pop the flash, and then in one instant everything is on the shot, and then they draw some additional things. But that's that doesn't look artsy. It looks...
Is that cheating?
No, I would not call it cheating. It's just the way to do things quickly and waterproof or fail-proof. But the result is, like flat a bit or,
So how do you get like that fiery flame effect? And how do you get the nothingness everywhere else on the body and the guitar?
Yeah, basically what is not lit is black. That's it. And in this shot, I did not put any additional light on the model, on my wife. But unintentionally, of course, you can see, for example, the neck or the upper part of the guitar is lit a bit. But it was not intentional. And the fiery part.
More props, Paul.
This is just a flashlight. The flashlight which I used for Pearl Jam to do the lettering. But that slit is only for the letters. Normally I would remove it now. It's just doing such movements all over her body. So it's just contouring her body and just moving the flashlight.
For those of you listening at home, the same flashlight that all of you have in your nightstand when the power goes out, essentially Alexander used that for a Pearl Jam cover.
Which,
love it.
Maybe we should just go to that now. Since
imagine what you two are capable of if you just think laterally outside the box.
All right, Alex, here it is. We've alluded to it a couple times. You mentioned it's a kaleidoscope, but then you also mentioned the letters top and bottom on the album cover are with that little flashlight there. So give me a breakdown.
Exactly. So the central part or the main picture without the letters is that big two-mirror kaleidoscope, which we already discussed. But here I introduced another element, which I wanted to experiment with again, movement. So it was a moving kaleidoscope during the shot. So that's why the trails normally... It would be more static, but through the movement of the kaleidoscope, they became lines. And I basically used something like that. It's a Christmas light.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just was in the kaleidoscope attached to it. And then through the movements of the kaleidoscope, those dots became lines.
That is so cool.
Wow.
And the fiery thing in the middle.
It's also the same thing, but in different colors. So I also have I have 20 of them. They have different colors, and one was yellow. So I took it for the middle because it was actually the feedback from the band that they want something in the middle. They wanted to put me something in the middle which looks like fire or energy or dark matter maybe.
I see. And then you mentioned the letters for Dark Matter and Pearl Jam. You used the flashlight. How did you do that?
Yeah, that's completely different story. So actually I photographed each letter separately. So each letter was a separate shot, and I did the whole alphabet. So initially they wanted to have the names of all songs written with those letters. So they asked me to do the whole alphabet, including numbers and question mark and stuff like that. But at the end, they dropped the idea. But like I said, they saw somewhere a photo from me, a very early photo. I think it's on Flickr, when it was written Minimalism with almost exactly the same font. And they just told me, can you write the name of the band and the name of the album with this font? Yeah, sure. Sure thing.
No problem.
But yeah, of course, no problem. But actually, the letters look so small on the album, but they are actually huge. Each letter is its own photo. And if you would be able to zoom in, you would also see the structure is also very nice and cool. So
on the back, Alexander, of the Dark Matter single, when you flip it over, you see a P and a J, and you really get all the nuance that you put into these letters.
I didn't get mine yet. Cool. Yeah. They said they like how pearlescent the letters are.
Yeah, they're incredibly cool. Incredibly cool.
So I have to ask, like, how did you get to work with Pearl Jam? Like, who was the first person to contact you? Was this a collaborative process? Like, how did this come to be?
Yeah, that's a funny story, actually. Because, like I said, since I have a family and two kids and a full-time job, so lately I had not so much time for the photography. And I had to choose between photography and music, and I chose music for several years. We played with my friend. We have like a small band or something. We will talk maybe later about it. But through that, I just stopped doing photography and was not checking on my Instagram and my Facebook account. And there was this guy, Scott Greer, who is their manager or agent. I'm not really sure how to call him appropriately, but he's managing a lot of stuff, and he contacted me. So the band asked him to find me and to contact me. And he was trying Instagram, he was trying Facebook, he was trying basically everything that he could find. So also Flickr and my old website, which is now down. But I basically did not see his messages because I stopped checking all the channels. How long I left him waiting, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was at least 1 or 2 weeks.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay.
I think it was
even
more.
Like 6 months. I was like, man, Scott is persistent. You think Alexander's persistent. When do you meet Scott?
No, I would have to look it up, but he told me that he tried everything, and then he almost gave up, and at the end he tried a funny thing. So he found my profile in LinkedIn, so he saw the company where I'm working in, and he saw my name, so he put together my name and the company name, and he sent an email, and I got it because I was every day in the office, and I get an email, we are interested in your light paintings for a music album. I thought I was sure that it's a scam, because it's so strange to get an email like that into your working account, because who has my working email? And that's how it started, actually. Then we just chatted a bit, and he told me that it's he set up a call, and then we talked, and he told me that it's for Pearl Jam. I was shocked because why me? And
off you went. When was that about? Was it last year, 2023?
Yeah, it was the end of 2023.
Okay. And what was the answer to that question? When you said why me, like what was the answer?
Yeah, it's also a funny story, because up to this day, I don't know for sure. I tried to figure out. I asked him, but he didn't answer. And in the end, when I pushed, then he told that he doesn't know. They just told him to connect with me. And then I asked also Jeff, but Jeff still didn't answer. He had only one comment on my Instagram. We didn't came to chat. I think he's pretty busy. I can understand that totally. But The guys from the band most probably only know the answer. I only know the story which multiple people told me, but it's not 100%. Because I sold my pictures before through Getty Images. I don't know. Do you know Getty Images? Yep. Exactly. So it's this big or the mainstream stock photography site. And I had some success with that. So my photos were sold there multiple times. So it, before Pearl Jam, it was my main income from my photography, actually. And those photos, they were sold and they appeared then in all over the place. I mean, just commercials, scientific articles and stuff. And there was one scientific article where my photo was used. And that's the assumption that Jeff just saw reading this article. It was in Popular Mechanics. Yeah, this was something about quantum fields, and yeah, my photography somehow resonated with it, and yeah,
that's insane that it would be like just some chance encounter of Jeff reading a Popular Mechanics magazine, perhaps is the way that you got mixed up in all this. But we're thankful for that if that's how it went down.
Yeah.
Quickly before we let you go, you mentioned the band that you were in that kind of took your focus away from doing this amazing art. Pulsar Clock, it sounds nothing like Pearl Jam. It's very trippy. It's very electronic. It's very cool. Do you like Pearl Jam's music, or is it just kind of like, oh, cool, you guys are interested?
It's both. So also funny story actually with this, because Pearl Jam, as I heard it, for me it's one of the biggest bands of all times. So I thought, okay, it's a huge name. But as I told it to my friends, hey, I'm doing something for Pearl Jam, how cool is that? And they like, who's Pearl Jam?
What?
Yeah, and I ran into it so many times. I don't know. Maybe it's Germany. Maybe because of it's Germany. Maybe
they
it's
play because Germany.
They're big in Germany.
Yeah.
They're not Hasselhoff big, but they're big. You know.
maybe the people which I was talking about, which I talking to, were too young for Pearl Jam or something like that. But also with me, it was kind of strange because I was sure that I've heard a lot of Pearl Jam, but then I put it on. And then I do not recognize anything. I just know the name. I just know that it's a huge, big band, rock band. But I do not recognize any songs. And then, yeah, I only like Jeremy and Alive. This is the biggest hits. Right.
So you went down the tunnel into their music. It probably looked a little bit like the cover of the Dark Matter single itself, right? Just went right into the tunnel. And now a fervent Pearl Jam fan are you. Speaking of that, did you do the cover for the Dark Matter single as well?
Yeah. I did actually all the graphics for this album, for the single, and there was like 30 pictures which in the end they took. Also those stickers which you see for the vinyls this which you can put on the center, they are also made by me.
I don't know that we've seen those yet, Paul.
No, we have not.
So what you're saying is, Alex, is that we've got a whole bunch more of art from you.
Yes.
Yet to be seen in the marketing and push. Oh, man. Be excited, everybody. Be excited. Alex, I'm super stoked that you were able to join us all the way from Germany to talk about this. And I hope that we see more art from you. And I want to talk more about that. Maybe we can do like a live demo at some point. I don't know how that would work, but that would be incredible because this has been a lot of fun. And I hope that you enjoyed your time talking your process with us.
Yes, for sure.
And thank you to your wife who had to watch you sit still for more than 10 minutes this time.
Is she laughing behind the scenes or is she like in the other room with the kids?
No, she's in the bathroom with the kids because otherwise he would hear them too.
Okay, we are not going to relegate your family to the bathroom for on our behalf any longer than we have.
Yeah, tell her thank you.
Yes, very much so.
All right, everybody. Well, there you go. It's been light painting and learning so, so much from Alexander Gnezdilov. Did I say it correctly?
Yeah, totally.
Yes, I did it again.
Right. Much better than anyone in Germany.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah,
we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon. What a treat, Alexander. Bringing the props, Paul. Bringing the props and showing us.
Yes. For those of you listening, you couldn't see those props. But maybe, I don't know if it's possible for us to take, Jason, like some imagery and put it into the podcast platform so you can kind of get an idea of what we were looking at. Maybe that doesn't work, but
I don't know if it's possible.
If
but
you
I'll
needed
do my best.
An incentive to try us on YouTube, this was the episode to do that. That's for
yes.
sure.
Yes. He is a brilliant guy and very creative. And we talked about that left versus right brain thing, and he's got it in spades. I've not seen anything like that before. And you know, what's funny is Charles Peterson was talking to us about long exposure, and that's kind of like his thing. And like, you know, some of those really cool images, iconic images of his where like there's streaking light bulbs and stuff like that. This is like that on steroids.
Yeah, it was an enthralling experience to, I mean, obviously everyone listening, you're going to see much of this artwork when you start, you know, really, really exploring this record and you buy it and you, you know, explore what they put out there for it as it continues to be promoted. But to listen to this episode and just watch Alexander talk through his process and some of the various points of inspiration, you know, those muses, you know, the lightning bolts, as it were, as Eddie likes to call them. It's really, really cool. So I'm very grateful for his time with us today and the opportunity to just kind of watch a lot of that unfold. In fact, for those of you listening, you know, he took some extra time and he walked us through a really cool experience. Jason, you want to tell him about that?
Oh, well, yes. So it's not in this episode, but we're going to put it somewhere else. Maybe it's a Patreon thing. I'm not really sure just yet as we're recording this, but the same way that he created the font and the lettering for Pearl Jam and Dark Matter, he made our podcast word mark, and he did it in real time. So it was really cool. I mean, it's like basically a black screen,
how it's
and you
done.
See him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see him doing the lettering. It's like, how did he just do that? But it's because he's done it before, and it looked so simple, but it wasn't. So yeah, that's a really cool treat. So we'll figure out how to get that posted somewhere. But thank you to Alex's wife and kids for hanging out in the background for half an hour.
The true heroes of the show today.
Very much so. Very much so. So that's that, guys. Really, really cool. And listen, the album is out now. The album is out. You guys have been listening to it. You've been looking at Alex's artwork for the last few days. And when are we going to talk about it? When are we going to review it, Paul? Next week, part one of our Dark Matter review will come out. In 2 weeks' time, part two of our Dark Matter review will come out. We're splitting it up. That's how big it's going to be. We did the same thing for Gigaton 4 years ago. So very excited for that. Hope you guys are enjoying Dark Matter. Hope you guys have enjoyed this episode and the podcast at large. And we'll be back with you next week. And until we do, Paul...
You've been listening to The State of Love and Trust.